Beginning with verse 8, hear the reading of God's Word. And if anyone wants to go to children's church, we've got some going back. Okay. Thank you, Miss April. Hear the reading of God's Word. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And when he went out, not knowing where he was going, by faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Sarah, even Sarah herself, received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of the heavens in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Praise be to God for the reading of his word. One of the things that we see in that is that God does miracles. God could do things the easy way, but God oftentimes chooses to do things that completely confound what seems sensible and right to humanity. I mean, who would think that a great nation would be born out of a man that's 100 years old and a woman that's 90? A woman that's been barren her entire life. But what's interesting about it is that it starts with a journey. Because you couldn't even get to the point of this God doing the impossible until you get these individuals in the place where God wants them to be. And so God calls. And that's what God always does. He calls. He speaks. And he doesn't tell you everything at the beginning. Never, hardly ever. It's not like, it would be wonderful, wouldn't it, if when you're a teenager and you're wondering, what am I going to do with life? God would just sit you down one day and say, here's what you need to do first, and then when you're in your 20s, you're going to start doing this, and then you're going to do that for about 40 years. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you knew the plan on purpose? God doesn't reveal it all to us because this walk is supposed to be by faith and not by sight. If he told it all to us at the very beginning, then there'd be nothing really to believe for. We would just know that it's going to happen. It's only going to unfold. But God wants us involved in the process. God wants to do a work in us, and so he's always leading us and in the process teaching us, molding us, shaping us, and at the same time, testing us and looking to see if we'll be willing to be clay on the potter's wheel, or will we persist with a hard, stubborn heart? So the scripture says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, he obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. Wow, that's interesting, isn't it? Before I talk to you about that just a little bit, let me read. When Stephen was being martyred, he begins what we'll call a sermon, a testimony that he delivers to those who are about to stone him to death. And he said, hear me, brethren and fathers. The glory, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran, and said to him, leave your country and your relatives and come into the land that I will show you. Then he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. For there, after his father died, God had him move to this country to which you are now living. So that's Stephen's testimony to the religious leaders of the day. And what's interesting about it is that in this testimony, he's unfolding everything that is right here in verse 8. And he's showing how God called Abraham, or Abram if you will, while he was in the land of Ur the Chaldeans. And he called him to go to a place that he was going to show him, a place that he would, once he got there, he would show him that he's there. Okay? But he had to be willing to go. And he told him to leave all his relatives and go. Right? And so that's what he does. He picks up and moves his family, takes his father with him, takes his... he had a brother who had already died, and his son Lot was there. And so Lot went with them. He took Lot under his care, and they all started on this journey. Where? Well, they made it as far as Haran, and I get the impression from Scripture that the father wanted to stop in Haran. And this is the place where he eventually died. But it was not the place where God was leading them to. God had told him to go. I'm going to show you a land. He went, but so many times in life, isn't it the case that we get a little sidetracked? Or maybe we stall out for a little bit and we spend a few years spinning our wheels someplace and wondering, what am I doing here? But eventually in Haran, his father dies. And right after that, God speaks to him again and tells him to go to this place, to this land. And so this is the first time he spoke. Leave your country and your relatives and come into a land that I will show you. And then he left the land of the Chaldeans, settled in Haran. From there, after his father died, God had him move to the country in which you are now living, to the promised land. Thing is, he gets to the promised land, and it's full of people. I mean, think about it. First, I don't know about you, but well, maybe I should just say, what would you do? I mean, you think God has spoken to you. I don't know exactly how he spoke. Was it a still small voice? Was it just a knowing? Or did God appear to him? But let me tell you this. Even if it was some kind of miraculous appearance, after days and months pass by, after you spend a few years living in a place like Haran, you know, what is it that's going to motivate you? Well, can you draw back on the laurels of that first word? Most of the time we have trouble with that. We sort of get, time seems to separate us from the miraculous events that take place in our lives. And think about it. I mean, I know the most miraculous event that ever took place in my life was coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but it didn't take me long to get to a place to where I wondered, did that really happen? I mean, I was a young person, and I was struggling with the things that were going on in my life, and I was looking around at all the things that appeared. I wasn't looking at things that were not seen. I was looking at everything that I could see. And I looked at how I was living my life, and I thought, did you really get saved back then? Did it really happen? Sometimes life can be so cruel that it causes us to doubt the very things that God, the most miraculous things that God does in our life. And over time, if we don't keep ourselves in a place of following close to Him, we tend to forget. We tend to let it not have as much meaning for us. That's why Jesus said to one of those churches in the book of Revelation, I have this against you. You left your first love.
You've got to return to the first love. To the way it was. To the way it was. When we first came into the knowledge of our salvation.
An opportunity to set him up on this hill and look out over all that he could see. It was after he and Lot had sort of parted ways, and Lot went down toward Sodom and Gomorrah. And God set Abraham up there, and he said, look to the north and the south and the east and the west. And he said, everything that you can see, this is yours. This is the promised land. The only problem was is that there were huge armies living in the promised land. There were fortified cities in the promised land. There were a lot of people that, here he is. God has blessed him. He's got his servants. He's got all of his cattle, all of the lambs, all everything that God's blessed him with. All the servants that are in his house, he's trained many of them for war. But he knows that being in this land, he's an alien. He's not a resident. He's not a resident alien. He's just an alien. And it shows that, look at it, they dwelt in tents. You know, and I didn't realize this, but the only land that Abraham ever bought was the plot to bury his wife and eventually for himself. That area of land where that cave was, and he paid for it. Other than that, he was a sojourner in the land, moving from place to place, living from tent to tent, pitching a tent, taking it up, moving to a new place, pitching a tent again. And it wasn't just him, it was Isaac and Jacob, all heirs of the same promise. This thing wasn't a thing that happened over a matter of days or a matter of months. It was something that happened over a matter of centuries. At one point, God speaks to Abraham and tells him that his descendants are going to be like the stars in the sky. Takes him out into the night sky. I remember the first time. I grew up in the small town of McMinnville. But I'm going to tell you right now, McMinnville's lights are bright enough to hide the Milky Way. But I remember this one night that I got out on somebody's farm, and I'm looking up into the night sky, and there it is, in all its brilliance. And I was just blown away, the Milky Way. Just that whole, I'd never seen it so clear. I'd probably seen it, glimpses, but this was the whole thing as far as you could see from one end of the sky to the other. And I was just blown away by it. And it was probably that same kind of view that Abraham was looking at that night when God said, your descendants will be as innumerable as the stars. This promised land is one day going to have your inhabitants upon him. But you know what he also revealed to him at that time? He said there's coming a day when they're going to be in bondage for 400 years. And after that time, I'm going to bring them back to this land. I think about that, and I thought, did Abraham pass that down to Isaac and Jacob, the knowledge that, you know, you're going to be carried off into a foreign land and you're going to serve them for 400 years. And then only after that, then be brought back into the promised land. When they were in Egypt, when they were in the land of bondage, did they know that? Did they have that knowledge circulating around them that, you know, Abraham said, this is only going to be 400 years. And we're in year 75. In other words, we're not the ones that are going to be delivered. We're just going to have to believe that it's going to happen one day. But man, when it got to that 400-year period, I bet there were some people that were looking and saying, when's God going to send the deliverer? Who's it going to be? How's he going to do it? In verse 10 it says, for he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Which says that while he was living in that land, having those experiences through the years where God would take an opportunity to show him how he was going to make him a nation, that it was going to be through his son, through Sarah, and not through some other way. I mean, they made their mistakes along the way, there's no doubt about that, but in the midst of it all, they were trusting God. They were putting their faith in God, and they were believing that God was going to show them, and sure enough, he did. Little by little, time after time, God revealed to them the thing that they needed to know to carry them through the next season. And that's what he'll do in our lives. We just need to position ourselves in such a way as to have our faith in him, to walk daily with him, to be willing to ask the questions of him. Abraham did. Lord, how can I know that you're going to make me this great nation? And he shows him the stars, the sky, and he cuts a covenant with him, a blood covenant, so that he would know that God had put his own existence on the line. I will do it. I will cause it to happen. Man, it's amazing. He was looking for a city. He was looking for something. Even though he knew that God was going to give him the promised land, and he was believing that one day that promised land would belong to his descendants, he also knew that there was something more. There's a city that is where God is. Hallelujah. There's a city. There's foundations whose architect and builder is God. And it also shows that even for the land of promise, he knew that God was going to be the architect and the builder. You're going to bring it about in your time. I can see now, because he revealed to him, it's not going to happen in your lifetime. But that didn't stop him from believing. That didn't stop him from continuing to have his faith in God. I can tell you right now, sometimes we want to say, well, I've been believing. Why hadn't it happened yet? What I say is, keep on believing. I think this scripture started out by saying they died. Many of them died, not having yet received the promises. But it said they died in faith. We want to live our lives in faith. And when our life is over, we want to go home walking in faith. Amen. By faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive. When we read that passage, most of us remember that when it was being revealed to Abraham that Sarah was going to be the one who was having the child, she laughed. And when questioned about it, she said, no, I didn't laugh. And the angel said, no, but you did laugh. But she didn't laugh out of unbelief, apparently. She laughed because she lived her whole life barren. A woman who had always wanted children, and she just found out that she's going to be a mother. She just found out that at the ripe old age of 90 years age, she's going to be a mom. Man. I don't know if you read the newsletter article this week. But can you imagine Abraham and Sarah walking out in the community We're having a baby. We're having a baby. What do you mean? Is she pregnant? Well, I don't know if she's pregnant yet, but God just told us the other day that we're having a baby this time next year. Hallelujah. We're so excited. What do you think people thought? Man, they have, in their old age, they have lost it. It's finally happened. They've gone over the deep end. Because that's not how we normally talk. But when your faith is in God and your faith's not in the world, then you can talk like that. You talk differently. Look at verse 12. Therefore, there was born even to one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of the heaven in number and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Man, anybody been to the beach yet this year? Did you try to count all the grains of sand on the beach? Man, that would take some time, wouldn't it? There's too much to do to try to do that. Too much fun to be had because you can't do it. Innumerable. Hallelujah. Our God is so awesome. I want you to look at verse 13. All these died in faith without receiving the promises. Died in faith. They died in faith. Hallelujah. We want to die in faith. We may not receive everything in this life. But listen, it's coming. If God said it's coming, it's coming. If God promised, then you can stand on that promise. Whether it happens in our lifetime or not is not the question. It's that God moves, that God saves our children, that God redeems their lives from destruction, that God does a mighty work of revival in our nation. Will it happen in our lifetime? I hope so. But we're standing in faith, and if we die in faith, believing it, it doesn't end there. God honors those prayers until He brings them to pass. Praise be to God. They all died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, for those who say such things make it clear that they're seeking a country of their own. I love that. I love that verse. For those who say such things. That's the title of the sermon. I don't know if you knew that, but for those who say such things. Because you and I are supposed to be the kind of people that say such things. That say the kind of things that people look at us and wonder, have they lost it? Because that's not the way the world only believes what they can see. And we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. I love that verse. I backed up to 13. They welcomed it from a distance. Having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I think that was a line from a poem. I know it was Larry Norman put it in his song. But it's true. And it's the way we need to understand our Christian walk and our Christian faith is that it is a walk by faith and it calls us to a different level of belief. To not look at things the way the world looks at it. To not get discouraged when everything around us and all the circumstances say it's not going to happen. Trust and believe. Put your faith in God. Hallelujah. That's the way for us to live. They were seeking a country of their own. I think there's two ways we need to understand this. Because we know that Abraham, we can tell by everything that he said, his conversations with God, that he was concerned about this issue of a land. Of a place, of having it. And he knew that he was a stranger. He knew that he was an alien in the land. But he chose to believe God that it was his, that it was going to belong to his descendants, and that God was going to do something mighty through it. And so he was one of those who said such things that make it clear that he was seeking his own country. He was seeking the country that God wanted him to possess in this earth. And he was seeking the heavenly country. He was seeking this deeper walk with his Maker, with Almighty God. He was continuing to demonstrate his faith in God. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, if they'd been thinking about Ur of the Chaldeans, like the children of Israel were thinking about Egypt, they would have had an opportunity to return. And there it is. In this faith walk, there are choices. And there's always an opportunity to go back. To go back to the safe place of living under bondage. Knowing that you got 3 square meals a day. Even though you're in chains. Even though your masters are beating you with whips. I don't know why anybody would want to go back to Egypt. But what it's saying here is that they had an opportunity. They could have gone back to Haran. They could have gone back to Ur of the Chaldeans. And said, no, this thing that you're talking about, God, is just too far out there. It's too far off. It's not going to happen now. You know, we sort of live in that kind of generation. We're used to getting it now. It's fast food. It's fast pace. Yeah, we want it. We want what we want, and we love our comforts and the fact that we can get it right now. Oh, man, don't you just love Amazon Prime? I like those ones where Jeannie will say, man, I wish I had this vitamin. And I go on there and order the vitamin. It says, it'll be there in about 5 hours. And before nighttime, it's there on the front porch. But that's not the way, that's the way the world works. But God, He's more interested than just giving us stuff. He wants to do a work in us. He's trying to mold and shape character and give us the opportunity to show that we're putting our trust and our faith in Him. He's trying to make something on the potter's wheel. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Desiring this better country, knowing that no matter what happens in this life, no matter how much of the promise is unfolded in my lifetime, it's going to be unfolded. And in the end, there's a heavenly kingdom. And there's a place in eternity. And you have to think about, where do I want to be in eternity? Do I want to spend my life on earth just trying to get the things that I can see? Or do I want to walk this walk of faith and trust in a God who's building things not just for this life, but for the next? Lay up for yourselves not treasures on this earth, but treasures in heaven. I'm going to invite the musicians to come, and we're going to sing this hymn of invitation. And as we do, the Spirit of God speaking to you today. If there's maybe a decision that you need to make, we all know, because we feel the yearning and the pulling of God's Spirit tugging at our heart. If He's tugging at your heart today, I just ask that you obey, that you cry out to Him. If you need prayer, we'd love to be here to minister with you. If you'd like to see us after church, we would take the opportunity to minister to you there also. But respond to the Holy Spirit as He's speaking to your heart today. Would you stand as we sing this hymn?